This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's really unbelievable, buddy.
It's
tough. Are you 4 for 4 today?
I am. You know what it is? So, from what, just the background here, Danny's referencing that every single segment today I've started talking without turning on my mic. I'm going to tell you what it is. We're testing new video.
Yes.
So, I'm actually looking at a screen today of you and I, and soon enough, in the very near future, you guys will be able to watch the show live.
Regular 2024 stuff, baby.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But because we're testing the video, I sit down and I see myself. And I think it's triggering whatever part of my brain. It's like, I need to turn on my mic. It's as if I'm on the screen, so I've done all my job. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with at this point as to why we are where we are. But yes, I am officially batting zero today on turning
and
on.
And I feel bad because I know it annoys you. But the what's worth the price of admission is, welcome back to Great and Danny, and it's to nobody. It's just to me in the room. And then your look of, mother, like I did it again. It's funny to me.
The Commanders are looking to draft their generational quarterback soon. Don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsor of the show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, is going to guide your family and you through a important process. They'll get you going in the right direction, helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, create a health care power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We got Jordan Reed of ESPN to talk draft in a half hour. The 4 o'clock segment, the Beltway Blitz, will kick off with a chance for you to win tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall. We'll also give away Kevin Hart tickets at 5 o'clock today. And Cap Center Nick Dowd is on the show at 4:30. So we are moving and shaking. Danny, I wanted to get into Jaden Daniels' agent and the tweet situation from last night, which was heard round the world. Okay, so Daniels' agent liked three tweets last night. The first two of which were taking the team to task, essentially, on how they had gone about the pre-draft process. Now, a lot of people have been making fun of Washington for bringing in all four quarterbacks at the same time. Mike Florio's railed against it, among others. And the agent for Jaden Daniels retweeted one of the videos with an emoji. And I hate the "what does he mean with this emoji" speculation, so I'm not even going to get into that. But what also happened was a tweet where he liked something on social media where someone said that they thought it was a weird, stupid process and that they shouldn't be doing it, because the players don't work together anyway. I don't want to play the game of what does the agent mean? Ron Butler, what is this guy suggesting? What is the hand on chin emoji? I hate that.
Yeah, I can't do emoji Twitter sports radio. I'm just not there.
And I refuse to do it, okay? So I'm not going to get into the suggesting. Here's what I know. As of yesterday afternoon, when Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Michael Penix got on planes at Dulles and left town to go home to get ready for the draft, every single sign pointed toward Jaden Daniels being the number two pick. Agree or disagree?
All pretty much, yes. Any available sign pointed towards that.
I was talking to one of the most powerful agents in the NFL this morning, and I asked him about what Butler did, the agent for Jaden Daniels, who's not on that level, not one of the higher big-time agents in the pecking order in the league, which is odd to me for a Heisman Trophy-winning number two pick, you know, one of the great stars in college football this past year, to not go with like a CAA or an Octagon, or, you know, go with one of the real power players. But I digress. I said, what do you think of this? This seems strange to me. It feels like a huge deal to me. Am I overreacting? And I got this from both a big-time agent and someone with a team. And the point was, the entire lead-up to the draft, as an agent, what you tell your player constantly, don't give them any ammunition to not take you. Don't do anything that will make them like you less. That's kind of the whole point. And the person in your ear as a player telling you that and coaching you on that and making sure that you're doing that is the agent. And this is an example where the agent did something that became at the least a distraction, an unnecessary blemish leading up to the draft where you're going, well, it's clearly going to be Jaden Daniels to Washington. But the story last night, Danny, right or wrong, was the agent for Jaden Daniels didn't like how they did their process. The agent for Jaden Daniels wishes they wouldn't have had all the quarterbacks in together, is annoyed by what they did, and people will leap from that to they're not taking Jaden Daniels, which I think is silly, or from that to the agent doesn't want Jaden Daniels to go to Washington, which I think is outrageous. But the first part is fact. With every single shred of evidence, every single element of any information that we had over the last several days pointing toward Jaden Daniels, the agent himself has now led to a situation where there is a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it baggage, but this isn't great. It's a self-inflicted wound that makes no sense to me.
So I on the spectrum of tiny, minuscule molehill versus, you know, Mount Everest, this is not a Mount Everest thing to me. This is on the smaller side, but to your point, and I think it's a very good one, why? What's the upside? What's the benefit here? Right? What are we really doing? What are we trying to accomplish? Thinking from the agent's perspective, right? I think you said it very well. I don't know, again, and I refuse to do interpretations of emojis or whatever. I'm too old for that. I think it's silly altogether. But it's, at a minimum, a bit of fodder for discussion that nobody needed to have. All that's happening right now is decisions are being finalized. Guys go behind closed doors. We're all in agreement. All in agreement. Say aye. All right, let's move on to our second and third round picks. This, you're auditioning to be the number two pick in the NFL draft, pretty much, right? Talking about Daniels and then the person representing him here, the agent Ron Butler. I don't understand the upside to it. I think it's probably just not the brightest thing. It's very easy not to comment with emojis on people that are commenting about football.
By the way, it's okay. Someone tweeted me and said, well, you guys didn't know if it was the right way to do it. You were questioning the oddity, the uniqueness of how they were going about their process. And while I've never said it's bad, I don't necessarily think it's the wrong way to do it because I don't think there's a right way to do this pre-draft process. Yes, I think we can all acknowledge it is unique, borderline unprecedented, certainly with quarterbacks of this caliber that you would have them all there together. I think that you can get something out of it by maybe comparing and contrasting interviews in real time where one guy walks out of a room, the next guy sits down, and it's a little easier to compare the interviews if you're asking the same things in the same demeanor one after another. Who do you hit it off with? Who don't you? There's also some negatives to it, probably. I don't necessarily care either way about what they did. I think anyone who's mad about it is way overreacting. I think anyone who's saying, this is brilliant, every team should do this, is probably way too bullish. I don't know how much any of it matters. Just sitting down, doing one-on-ones versus playing Topgolf, whatever. But to me, Danny, if the agent didn't like it, you might have Josh Harris, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark's phone number. You could text him. Or you just don't need to.
Yeah, or there's no upside in doing that at all.
Well, who cares if I don't like their process? Well, their process is their process.
But so to
social media and make it a story shows terrible judgment.
In the spirit of fairness, the agent, again, liked a separate tweet. Again, I hate this stuff so much. Liked a separate tweet saying, hey, this was the agent actually disagreeing with the take from Mike Florin. So he liked that one too.
Yeah, I heard JP mention it like that. Well, he liked this too. Let's mention that. That was the third thing. Hours after the entire country started spinning its wheels and going, well, cross off Jaden Daniels in Washington and Drake May's going to the Commanders. And after he had liked two tweets that were nationally then becoming a story and it's being written up and talked about on television that the agent for Jaden Daniels doesn't like what the Commanders did and maybe that this means they're at odds, he liked the third tweet, in my opinion, in a calculated, I don't know, but this is my own speculation,
sure,
to kind of muddy the waters a little bit.
But
the first two tweets were very clearly him taking issue with what the Commanders had done.
And my point to say that is just to, A, mention it in the spirit of fairness, but B, to say, again, just there was no reason to do any of it, right? Does that make any sense? Like, you and I, this is our gig. This is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to parse up things. We are supposed to have an opinion about bringing all the quarterbacks and 15 other prospects in at the same time and have them go to Topgolf. That's our gig. That's not his gig. You follow me? Like, that's the difference to me. You're perfectly welcome to have an opinion. There's no upside in your opinion right now. I know this is not apples to apples, but remember old Dust Up Del Rio? There was no upside to his opinion. I don't care what you think about anything other than being a defensive coordinator. I'm not interested in it. That doesn't help me. It doesn't help the team. It doesn't help your defense, which was hot garbage the year before. How do we get Chase Young to 10 sacks? You figure that out. I'm interested there. I don't care about your excess opinions. So this is a part here, as you're representing a player, where, again, this is, and I probably sound too angry. I don't really mean it to be. There's just no upside in it. That's the only way, thing I keep coming back to, is there was no benefit to anybody for those kinds of things. At a minimum, it's now a bit of a discussion fodder for a lot of folks.
So you went with your mountain molehill analogy, essentially saying this is not a big deal. So I'm going to assume that we disagree on this. But to me, I do put this in the category of, like, red flag territory, where I go, oh, that's bad. I don't like that at all. I don't feel good about that. I will also go one step further. Please listen to what I'm about to say. If you were going to take Jaden Daniels before Topgolf and before these tweets, you should absolutely still take Jaden Daniels. To me, this is not a deal breaker. This is not some massive development. If you like Daniels better than May and better than McCarthy, you should still like Daniels more than you like May or McCarthy. I'm not suggesting changing anything on your board, but one of the first huge decisions that a football player makes is, who is your agent? And when your agent does something like this, it gives me a little bit of pause. I don't think you're going to see Drake May's agents at CAA liking tweets about what teams are doing in their interviews. It's just not the way that you do it at those major, big-time power broker agencies that the guys, typically the superstars in the sport, are represented by. So I do view this as a sign where I go, wait a second, what are we doing here? This is my Fortune 500 CEO. You know, this is my guy who's going to be the face of everything. And one of the only big decisions he's really had to make to this point is representation. And we got this weird week of the draft thing, 8 days out, where now the team is having to get on the phone probably and go, hey, what's going on, man? Everything okay?
Do you think it'll affect how they view him?
It depends on how close the conversation is. I think if you are tied between two quarterbacks and you got one agent who is operating in a way that is normal, and you don't have to worry about, and you got another, like, wild card moment where you go, that's weird, I don't love that, then, yeah, I would say that it could matter. But again, if he's ahead of someone on the draft depth chart, mm-hmm. it shouldn't change. But I guess my point is less that and more, would you consider this to be a bit of a red flag?
I wouldn't. I think it's odd behavior, but I don't go as far as red flag. For that, like, red flag to me is I'm gonna charge, I don't know, $10,000 a piece to come to our own draft party brought to you by, you know, a couple less than desirable brands or something like that, and that guy's tweeting about that, like, almost like he's a club promoter trying to siphon off cash from his player. I mean, I think we've got to go a long way for red flag. Someone that's not great at social media that should probably learn from this experience and go, you know, that's probably not the smartest thing for you to do. What does that mean down the line? Does it mean he's going to, you know, have his client misbehave, have his client, you know, hold out at weird times or advise him poorly? I mean, there's still a matter of show up and play football really well. I agree with you. There's probably better agents out there, but I don't know. I don't know that would affect me very much.
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to figure a lot of things out about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did the Topgolf all the quarterbacks together experience for a reason, because you wanted to glean information out of that, because you were going to get some intel out of that experience rather than just having some party where everybody high fives and hits golf balls, then shouldn't you care about some of the information you got back? You did it. You obviously thought it was a good idea,
right?
You did it because supposedly, according to some of the people that are talking to folks in the building, they wanted to see how the guys interacted together and what they thought about being linked together. Well, I'd say you figured out how at least one camp thought about it. No?
Give an indication.
But yeah. If it means nothing to you, then why'd you do this anyway? Is my question making any sense? Like, what was the point of the right. Topgolf thing if the intel that comes in from doing it isn't part of the evaluation? Just so you could see who's a better golfer? Because you think that you generally better
that's
golfers
gonna matter? Yeah.
Make better quarterbacks? I mean, so that would be one of my questions. Is it seems like you got some feedback. I would imagine you did this as some type of, I don't know what the test was. I don't know what they were looking for. But I don't think you did it for tiddlywinks.
Yeah, I don't know. If this was, I would feel a lot more strongly if this was Daniels doing it. I don't know why I'm not bothered that it's the agent. And part of it is because maybe he realized the error in his ways and liked something that said, no, this is the opposite, or I don't know. Because then we brush up against, you know, emoji interpretational Twitter, which I think is not something we should ever be doing. But I don't think it was wise. If he called me and asked me for counsel, I'd say, hey, there's no real reason to do that. That doesn't help anybody. Maybe your opinion. I'm sure that's a great opinion. You know, you're perfectly entitled to it. That's a reasonable take, by the way. Hey, this is unusual. Why would you have my guy do this? Perfectly normal. That's fine. But there's no upside in tweeting about it. There's no upside in giving folks reason to chatter about it.
I think who you choose to represent you speaks to, in a lot of ways, like how you're viewing your brand and your business, right? And I would imagine when you win the Heisman Trophy at LSU in the SEC, every agency's coming for you. And you're a week from the draft, and the person that you've chosen to represent you is liking tweets about the team that might draft you doing things badly. Call me crazy. I don't like that. As a starting point, mm-hmm. as a launching point, I'd rather that not be the case. Now, if I'm pro Daniels and I'm Peters, before I picked him up from the airport with Dan Quinn, and I told you yesterday, I thought those guys picking him up in the car and not picking up the other quarterbacks was very, very interesting. I don't think I'm changing my pecking order. But he said at his press conference today, they don't yet know who they're taking. And if that's a fact, Jack, if he really, really, truly doesn't know who they're taking at this point, and it's dead even, then maybe it does end up becoming a fact. I just couldn't believe 8 days before the draft, self-inflicted, that became a thing last night. Not a good sign.
Yeah, that we're lockstep with. I'm just kind of going, oh, what are you doing? No.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Speaking of the draft, we've never had Jordan Reed on, I don't think, from ESPN. He does their draft coverage with Mel Kiper. Really, really good. We will talk to him about all the QBs and what's going to happen at the top of the board. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Expected to hear back from Jordan Reed of ESPN in just a couple of moments as we get ready to break down the NFL draft with him. The Commanders have the number two pick. Adam Peters today with Lance Newmark, his assistant general manager, had a pre-draft press conference. They didn't say a whole lot. They have done an amazing job at keeping their cards close to the vest, not just as it pertains to the draft, but they did this with the coaching search. This is the MO, Danny. I mean, this is where we are, clearly. Even in a situation where they don't have to, because everyone knows Williams goes one and they can do whatever they want at number two. Mm-hmm. And if the word gets out, nobody can jump in front of them at that point. They seem to like operating this way. I don't have any problem with it.
So I don't either. And somebody asked the other day, I can't remember what show it was I was listening to, you know, why do this? What's the upside? And there may not be any upside to this one, but you get good practice when there is upside. Right, like next year, hopefully you're not picking second if you're this regime. And, you know, maybe it might be best for them and beneficial long term. We can have that argument. But if you operate this way as matter of policy and course, every time. 365 days a year, it becomes easier to do. It becomes habit. What, you know, if you do something for a day, it's not a habit. A week, maybe not yet, but now you're on your way, right? If this is how they say, when we get together, the words don't leave this room. I don't care what your agenda is to further your own career or cover your own butt. That's not the business we're in anymore. And that was the MO around here for people. We always had to know, that wasn't my fault. I understand why guys did it, because they needed to disassociate from some of the bad decision-making that was happening, some irrational nonsense for so many years, whether it was Bruce or Vinny or everybody in between. So, yeah, I understood why we're here, but we're not there now. We're in a much better place where guys are saying, we are in this together, and we are not going to spread the word outside. We're going to leave people guessing, which helps us in the long run. I think that's the policy.
Going back to the big story from last night and the liked tweets. So 2024, and I hate even saying those words, but I think they're relevant here. I will not be breaking down what the emojis meant. But this idea that Jaden Daniels' agent has come out and kind of thrown a little question into the conversation. I was 90% sure they were going Jaden Daniels before yesterday, and I don't know that that should change at all. As I said, if they were going Jaden Daniels before this, they should still go Jaden Daniels. But I am interested because, you know, we've been doing the show for a long time. I thought we'd come in here, and I kind of anticipated you feeling the same way I did about the tweets, but it sounds like you chalked them up mostly as nothing. Do you agree with me that who you pick as an agent tells you something about a player, yes or no?
It can, certainly. You know, like, I mean, I disagree with Lamar Jackson.
Is it surprising to you that the Heisman Trophy winner and the number two pick is represented by somebody who would take to social media to troll the team?
I guess on a binary, yes. I mean, but again, like I'm surprised Lamar Jackson's like, yep, my mom will handle it. Two-time MVP is pretty great. So I don't know if that's derailed his career or not. You know, like
the situation where he got his contract eventually went pretty badly sideways. Him and the team were at odds, and the fan base was angry. Now, he happened to play at an MVP level on the other side of that afterwards, so it all worked out.
Right. But
all of last offseason talking about all of his missteps and how having an agent, he could have avoided all of them.
No, I agreed with it then, and I agree with it now. I think it's a mistake. But, I think you guys aren't ordering the right sandwiches from Cornucopia right now. Like, that's the level of mistake I think it's closer to. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't affect football performance. Like, to me, hiring the wrong strength coach or hiring the wrong nutrition advisor is like, yeah, go out late at night and eat a lot of carbs and, you know, have an inconsistent sleep schedule and drink a lot. Like, not that that would be realistic, but there's a lot of stuff to me that's far more pertinent towards somebody's football career. I think you're getting, it seems like he's not getting great advice at this point from this guy. And this is just based on a tiny, small window. That's not derailing to me. That's not as much of a red flag to me as it is something I might have to monitor if I'm taking him, which means it registers on my scale, but I don't think it's as bad as you do.
Yeah. For me, I would say that I would prefer to take somebody, just generally speaking, in a tiebreaker scenario, who is repped by one of the top companies and kind of just taking their career seriously enough to go, I'm going to put it in the hands of this person who represented Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or whatever over, you know, a situation where maybe he's going to tweet at the team that I want to be drafted by tonight and troll them.
If you're comparing the two, yeah.
And all I can do is just kind of look at judgment, right? Look at the decisions that you have at your disposal right now and how you're handling them. But I think I would circle back to the point that I made initially, which is I'm not suggesting this is the most important thing. You said football still matters more or something. No kidding. How he plays, when he takes the field, what kind of skill he has is going to be the determinant on whether you draft him number two overall. I think we agree that they shouldn't be. I saw people saying, it's Drake May now. Definitely take him off your board. That's not something that should be happening based on this. But I would make a note that I got to handle and put out a fire before I've even drafted the kid on this self-inflicted thing that was so unnecessary. And that's not a check, that's an X. Right. I don't know how many X's lead to,
lead to a
being
decision.
Annoyed enough that you go, are we sure here? Probably not one, right. But I think last night was an X.
Yeah, it didn't go in a good column. I think that's pretty fair to say. But again, this isn't, I don't want to, And I don't know what I don't know here. I'm out of my depth when it comes to the agencies and rivalries and different things like that.
What do you mean rivalry?
Well, like CAA versus I don't know all the names of them. Octagon versus Jay-Z's group or whatever.
It's just companies that represent players.
Well, yeah, but they're all going after the same people. So I'm sure there's rivalries going back and forth, right? It's a competitive field. So I have no idea where this guy's agency stands, but he's a certified NFL player agent, right? I mean, he's part of an agency.
Represents, I think, Kareem Jackson, the safety from Denver. I'm just looking at his account. I think I'm sure he has plenty of players.
Right. And I guess my point is if this is just like my buddy Steve's going to do it, you know, like the guy that I grew up with or the guy that I met at LSU or actually my friend from Arizona State who smokes a lot of weed, but he watches Law and Order. That's a red flag. That's a pretty big disaster. But not going with the best agent, I don't know. I don't know that that's as much of a factor for me. But again, we're agreeing, we're in lockstep that's saying this is not in the good column. This is in the bad column.
So maybe it just sounds like semantics then, because maybe we're saying the same thing then, I guess. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We have tracked down Jordan Reed of ESPN, scheduled to join us here to break down the NFL draft. Jordan, thanks for the time. How are you?
Good. Thank you guys for having me.
My pleasure,
buddy.
Hey, we don't have a lot of time, so let's get right after it. Quarterback position. I want to know who you think Washington takes it to, and who would you take it to?
So I'll start with who I would take. I would take Drake May of North Carolina, just because of I like the combination of the package that I'm getting with him from the prototypical size at 6'4", 230 pounds, the upside with him, the arm strength. I believe this guy has a Josh Allen, Justin Herbert type of ceiling. And once we take some of the heavy lifting off of him on the next level, I think he's only going to continue to get better. Yes, the decision-making and the footwork does need to improve, but I think those are the type of things once he gets NFL coaching and he has more reliable weapons and protection around him, he's only going to get better in the future. Now, as far as who I think they're going to take, I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels, just because if you look at the foundation that they have already set, whether that's with bringing in older guys like Bobby Wagner, some of these other players that they have bought in through free agency, I believe Dan Quinn wants to hit the ground running as fast as possible. And Jaden Daniels gives you that type of ceiling and then also that type of floor as well right away, just because Jaden Daniels is without question the better player right now. And if you're looking for somebody in the short term who is going to get you off on the ground running right now, like Dan Quinn and Adam Peters want to do, Jaden Daniels is going to be that type of guy. Now, over the long run, I just personally believe that Drake May is going to be the better prospect over time.
So, Jordan, to that effect, do you buy this notion that Drake May is maybe more raw than some people are saying and might need some time, whether it's a year to sit or 10 games to sit or whatever arbitrary number? Is that something that you see that he might need more time to mature and become that star?
Yeah, he does. And then just comparing the two, if you think about it, Jaden Daniels has been a five-year player in college, so he's seen the game much more. He's had many more reps. With Drake May, we're talking about a guy that's only a two-year starter. So he hasn't played as much football as Jaden Daniels, so there's going to be some things he's naturally behind in. Now, he's had two offensive coordinators in 2 years, so he's had to adjust to that. He lost his best receiver in Josh Downs. We saw what he was able to do with the Colts during his rookie year, and they were never able to recover from that. He got his best receiver halfway through the season last year with Tez Walker once they got the NCAA stuff cleared up with him. So with those two, there's going to be a compare and contrast with everything. But like I said earlier, I just think Dan Quinn is going to want to hit the ground running, and that's why I think they're going to end up selecting Jaden Daniels, just because of the mobility, the arm talent that he already possesses, and then there's so many other things that he does better than Drake May right now.
Can you dive into the Drake May progression and like how long he'll need? That's been the weirdest part to me watching the pre-draft process, is now seeing all these people suggest, well, maybe you sit him for a year and, you know, stuff like that, which I don't really get. Help me with that.
Yeah, so this is always the tricky part about quarterback evaluation, just because there's some guys that do sit, then there's some other guys that can hit the ground running, like what we saw with C.J. Stroud last year. There's some guys that just don't need time, while there's others like Jordan Love that need some time to really correct some of those things. I think Drake May is more so that needs to be on the Jordan Love type of plan. Not saying he has to sit for 2 to 3 years. I don't think he needs to sit that long, but I just think there's needs to be some things that you have to be patient with him that he needs to clean up. The footwork is an obvious one, just because his first year in that air raid scheme, they did not focus on footwork at all. So there was a lot of freestyle going on with him. But last year, he played more in structure, and they tried to create more routes that married up with his footwork, and it was just something that was really foreign to him. So that still is a foreign concept to him. That's why I think with him going on to the next level, things are only going to get faster. So if you throw him out there while still being foreign to that concept of having polished footwork, I think it's going to be a disaster for him right away.
ESPN's Jordan Reed with us here on Grant and Danny. So where does J.J. McCarthy fit in all this? And how far down do you have him from that kind of top triumvirate of Williams, Daniels, and May?
So I have J.J. as my 28th overall ranked player, while I have Drake as my 4th, and then also Jaden as my 7th overall ranked player. So there's a little bit of a difference between all three of those guys. Let's just say the first two and then also J.J. But with J.J., I understand why there's a lot of intrigue with him. And it's what I like to call the thrill of the unknown. With NFL coaches, they always feel as if they have the secret ingredients to help uncover that next layer of a quarterback's development. And the intrigue is definitely there with J.J. He's won at the highest level. He's won every single accolade that you can think of, 27-1 as a starter, but it's no secret. He was a part of a very run-centric type of offense, but when they did allow him to throw, he was very efficient. Somebody that completed 67% of his passes on third down, as well as 76% off of play action. So a lot of coaches are thinking, what happens when we coach this guy up and we allow him and groom him over time to eventually get better?
Jordan Reed, ESPN, one of the great draft experts out there. Pumped to have him on the show with us for a few minutes here on 106.7 The Fan as we get closer to next week's draft. Today, Adam Peters met with the media. He said he doesn't have a lot of interest in moving back and that essentially they would stay put at 2 and make a pick. I'm wondering, though, is there a world where they could go back to 3 or 4 and still get one of the big 4, let's say, and where that would make sense to add a lot in a haul? Or do you think because they probably just fall in love with one guy, you take it at 2 and you don't worry about it?
Yeah, you don't want to get too cute, especially when you're talking about drafting quarterbacks, because somebody could jump you. And let's say you trade back to 4, now your other two options could go ahead of you. So you just don't want to risk that type of stuff. And then with quarterbacks, you never want to play around with that. You always want to take the one that you can get right away, just because we're talking about guys that can be game-changing type of players, and it could change everybody's lives within the building. So I just don't think you need to be too cute. Just take the guy that you like and just play him from there on out once you take him number 2 overall.
Jordan, who's a guy in this draft that you feel differently about than kind of the industry consensus, whether strongly or more negatively?
That's a good question. McCarthy probably would be the one that I'm a little bit hesitant about to buy all in. And I know the top 5, the top 10 stuff, that is very real with him, just because of is what I like to call the quarterback tax. There's always going to be that guy that gets pushed up the board every year. But I'm just hesitant to buy in just because of the sample size. And then also just how much upside is left with J.J. That's what I'm really interested to see play out.
Can the Commanders get a starting left tackle at 36? Or do you think that'll be too hard to do?
So just to share with you guys, I think this is the worst kept secret in the draft right now, is the Commanders trading up from 36 or 40 to get an offensive tackle. It just makes so much sense for them to trade up and take advantage of this huge for this deep offensive line class, I should say. I just don't see Adam Peters having so many picks just waiting till 36 or 40 for one of those guys to fall to him. I could see them trading up, you know, late 20s, mid-20s, something like that, to get one of these guys that potentially is falling. And they have a huge hole at left tackle right now. They released Charles Leno. They don't have anybody else that could come in and start right now. So they need a left tackle. I just think that's the worst-kept secret of the first round right now. Is that the Commanders potentially trading up from 36 or 40 to get one of these offensive tackles and have 2 first-round picks.
Who might be there in that range that you like?
I think one that they'll like quite a bit is Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma. I think he's one that definitely will be there. Jordan Morgan of Arizona is another. And then another I think could sneak into the back end of the first round is Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. So I think those are the 3 that they could target, and that's guessing that they trade up into the back end of the first round, but they could surprise everybody and trade up into the late teens or something like that and take like a J.C. Latham or a Marius Mims. I think this is going to be a really exciting draft for the Commanders just because they have so many picks and that leads to so many possibilities.
Last thing before we let you go, Jordan, before you came on, we were talking about last night. I don't know if you saw Jaden Daniels' agent was liking tweets about not enjoying the way the Commanders brought all the quarterbacks in together to go play Topgolf and interview as a group, essentially. What do you make of him doing that? And B, do you think that will factor in at all to what they think?
I did not see that. So I can't really say too much about that as far as what I think of it. But I think social media gets really, really interesting, especially like the week up to the draft. And it's definitely something that I stay off of leading up to the draft as far as reading my timeline, just because the rumor mill definitely does crank up. And there's so many things that a lot of people pay attention to. So I did not see it. I don't really have an opinion on it either.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Jordan Reed of ESPN with us on Grant and Danny. That's not bad advice in general.
I was going to say.
Less social media time. Probably
write that down.
Better. Our double play is next. We're going blitzing at the top of the hour. We're 15 minutes away from giving someone a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall. Going to be a great next week on 106.7 The Fan. Why would you navigate away? We got the Nats and the Astros World Series celebration this weekend. Caps starting the NHL playoffs on Sunday. They'll have home games at Capital One Arena starting late next week. And, of course, the NFL draft Thursday and Friday into the weekend. Nobody will have you better covered than we will here on The Fan. It is time for your double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Jeeps, we run into these things all the time, and not just you and I, but anybody in life as you get older. For us in sports, those milestones are. I remember that guy's dad's entire career, and now this guy's like a veteran big leaguer. You know, like the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. kind of phenomenon. Or, you know, you can name any player. Matt Holliday, I remember when he was drafted. He was right around my era. And he was better than me. Again, we've gone on record saying that. And now his son Jackson's pretty good.
I got to write this down.
Yeah, but he was.
Let me find a pen.
Get a pen.
Yeah. Matt Holliday?
Matt Holliday, the superstar.
Fame,
yeah.
From, Major League, several-time All-Star MVP candidate.
He was a better player than me.
At baseball?
Yes.
Better than you?
100%. And I've gone on record with that.
Okay.
I've been on record.
I'm going to write that down.
I have said that before. I'm not changing my view on that. You're not going to no amount of numbers from what I did in McLean Little League will change my mind on that.
Baseball player Matt Holliday, better than you at baseball?
Yes.
Okay.
Unequivocally. So I've got one of those now, like personal life. So I've got two things that are happening. One, some of my best friends, they have their oldest son, they were the first of us to have kids, is going to high school next year.
Not okay.
Like we helped him like pick the high school. Like, what do you want to do? And you're interviewing here. And then we're going, like, that's crazy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I thought you just go to the high school where you live.
He could. But they're very academically inclined. Some soccer's involved.
Okay,
there's a whole bunch of different things.
Like a college experience.
Almost, honestly. I mean, that's the landscape now, by the way, which is crazy. Well, we're doing another one of these. Some of my dear friends live in and around close by Nashville. So we're flying to Nashville after the show tomorrow night for one of my best buddy's daughter's bat mitzvah for her 13th birthday.
Wow.
Which sounds insane that I have a friend that is a 13-year-old. Like, we're the same age. And it's, of course, the math works. Like, nobody did anything crazy, but it's unbelievable to me. That's where we are. We're steps away from, little Johnny's got his driver's license and he's driving to this and we're going to high school graduations and stuff. It really is unbelievable how old it makes me feel. Because I remember when she was born. I remember it vividly. Doesn't seem like it's that long ago. 13th birthday, man. Unbelievable. That's what I got.
Call me rich and only. For at least the next, 24 or so hours, wifeless and kidless.
Oh.
Your boy is at the house by himself.
Congrats, man.
I think I might go see a movie tonight. Might get a little popcorn, maybe a little Coke Zero, throw my feet up on the seat in front of me in an empty theater, and watch a film in a movie theater. Because I correctly am one of the 33% of Americans who still prefer to watch a movie at the movie theater than they do at their home. And so I want those lights to go down. I want that Dolby audio to start kicking. I want to watch Liam Neeson running around in a bad, early April action flick.
I assume there's one out now, right? Is there?
There is actually a Liam Neeson movie I was considering. It's Leader in the Clubhouse for me. But I bring this up to ask this question right now. Please hit me up, ideally on X. That's the easiest way to do it, at Grant H. Paulson. It's a great platform. You can do everything from send me movie recommendations to like tweets about your clients' quarterback visits. Or you can hit me up on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson. I want to know what you've seen recently in the theater that is worth me seeing. If I got a, this is very rare. This is an opportunity for me. I can't waste this. I'm going to go to the movie. I'm going to eat popcorn. I want it to be good. What should I see? That is the question for this double play.
The boys, all the Rie boys, saw Godzilla Kong, the New Empire.
Should I do that?
If that's like, here's how I'll phrase that. If that's what you want.
Like
if you want that, it's exactly what you thought.
Now, if I can either see nothing or see that, well, I'll definitely see that, and I'll be happy about it. But there's got to be something else. I'm going to give it a good look-see. But send your recs if you'd like to at Grant H. Paulson for your pal. Next, we are giving away tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall, one of our best prizes in a while here. You got to be listening at the top of the hour. And then we've got your Beltway Blitz on the Caps, Nats, and Commanders right here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.